Hear the word of God as it is written in the book of Jude, chapter 1, reading verses 17 to 25. This can be found on page 947 of the Pew Bibles. The author of Jude warns about false teachers and urges Christians to focus on their core beliefs. Jude chapter 1, reading from verse 17. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Saviour through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. Here ends first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. John chapter 21, reading verses 15 to 17. This can be found in page 829 of the Pew Bibles. Peter, who denied Jesus three times on the night of the Lord's arrest, is taken to the side by the resurrected Jesus to be asked some personal questions. John chapter 21, reading from verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. On New Year's Eve, Danny was in no fit state to drive. So he sensibly left his van in the car park and walked. As he was wobbling along a dual carriageway, he was stopped by a policeman. "What are you doing out here at 4 o'clock in the morning?" asked the police officer. "I'm on my way to a lecture," answered Danny. "A lecture, is it?" said the officer. "And who on earth is going to give a lecture at this time in New Year's morning?" inquired the constable sarcastically. Danny replied grimly, "My wife." An optimist stays up till midnight on New Year's Eve to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to make sure that the old year leaves. We are in We are now in a month named after the Roman god Janus, an appropriate image for the start of any new year. For this particular Roman god had two faces, so that he could look ahead to the future and back at the past at the same time. As we say goodbye to an old year and look forward to a new one, we all try to be a little like Janus. We know through experience what we did wrong and what we did right, and we hope to do better in the new year. Some people make ambitious New Year resolutions. Others just take a deep breath and hope for the best. Are you optimistic about 2017? Or are you pessimistic? No matter whether 2016 was good or bad for you, the dawning of a new year heralds the possibility of something better, a fresh hope for the future. As the poet said, I am 2017. I am an unspoiled page in your book of life. I am your next chance in the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you learned during the last 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to give. All that you dreamed but didn't dare to do, all that you planned but didn't carry through, all the faith that you claimed but did not have, these slumber within me at the start of this new year, waiting to be wakened by a faithful heart of good cheer. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to him who said, behold, I make all things new. Let us begin. I am 2017. In our gospel reading, we heard of an encounter between the disciple Peter and the Lord Jesus after his death and resurrection. And some of you may be surprised at today's reading, for it is more often used at the time of Easter rather than Christmas. But Christmas leads to Easter just as Hogmanay leads to New Year's Day. You can't have one without the other. Christmas is the dawn of a new age. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And the encounter between Peter and Jesus is a perfect example of what that new age means. The past is in the past. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And three times Peter replies, yes, Lord, I do. Peter had denied Jesus three times on the night of his arrest, even though he promised that he would not, even if it meant laying down his life. Can you imagine the pain in Peter's heart at the betrayal of Jesus? Not just a close friend, but someone he knew in his own heart to be the living, breathing Son of God. Then Jesus says, do you love me three times to show Peter that the past is in the past? No longer does he need to carry the pain of betrayal in his heart. Jesus displays the unconditional love he has for Peter. Peter could have denied Jesus 1,000 times. And 1,000 times Jesus would have forgiven him. The love that came down at Christmas is a game changer when it comes to unchaining us from the past. Jesus demonstrates that true love is about forgiveness and mercy. I don't know who the author of this statement was, but I love the sentiment. It says, people don't always remember what you said or did, but they do remember how you made them feel. I'm sure that Peter never forgot how Jesus made him feel at that moment in time when he was forgiven. And I'm also sure that we can have the same feeling if we truly repent of our sin and love Jesus as Peter loved him. For the love that came down at Christmas was not just for the disciples or a select group of individuals. It was for all people of all ages, shapes, colours and creeds. And that includes everyone who is gathered here this morning. No one here this morning is perfect. We've all done things we wish we hadn't and said things we wish we could take back. We may not have the power that Disney's Elsa has to bring winter, but we have the power within us to freeze someone's heart. Our tongues have that power. Just a few unguarded and thoughtless, cruel words have the power to create an eternal winter in the heart of someone else, especially those close to us, the ones we should love the most, the ones we should show most tolerance to. And when we have let our tongues get the better of our hearts, wouldn't it be great to feel like Peter felt? To be free from the chains that bind us to the past? To be able to go forward into the new year with a clean slate, open to all the opportunities and possibilities that 2017 may bring, without the burden of guilty feelings from the past? One of the things that can bind us to the past is not the things that we've done, but rather the things that have been done to us. It was Confucius who said, "To be wronged is nothing unless we continue to remember it." Grudges are nothing more than toxic memories of how someone made us feel. By holding on to a grudge, we may fool ourselves into thinking we can inflict some sort of pain on the person who wronged us. In reality, holding on to a grudge is like holding on to a hot stone. It doesn't hurt the stone or the person who gave it to us. It only hurts the one who's holding it. Carrying a grudge is like being stung to death repeatedly by one bee. It doesn't matter how justified the bitter feelings are or how right we are. Holding on to a grudge turns pain into suffering. And in a strange way, it empowers the wrongdoer to hurt us again and again. As we go into New Year, the possibilities in front of us are most restricted by ourselves. The level of faith we have is often directly related to the past we hold on to, the time we give in service, in prayer, and in reading God's word. As we journey into 2017, we face a block of time. We see 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, 31,536,000 seconds. And all are a gift from God. We have done nothing to earn it or purchase it. Like the air we breathe, time comes to us as a part of life. But the gift of time is not ours alone. It is given equally to each person, rich or poor, educated or simple, strong or weak. Every man, woman and child has the same 24 hours every day. We cannot stop time. There's no way to slow it down, turn it off or adjust it. Time marches on. And we cannot turn time back. Once it's gone, it is gone forever. Yesterday is past. 2016 is behind us, never to be lived again. So if something changed you to the past, if something you have done or something that has been done to you means you can't fully live in the present, then as Princess Elsa sang, let it go. Let it go. Don't let something that you cannot change hold you back anymore. Time is one of our most precious possessions. We can waste it. We can worry over it. We can spend it on ourselves. Or as good stewards, we can invest it in the kingdom of God. 2017 is a year full of potential. The countdown to 2018 has already begun. As the seconds tick away, will you be tossing time out the window, or will you make every minute count? Whether you succeed or fail in all that you do, I pray that you do not find yourself sitting here next year with regrets that you didn't live fully in 2017 because you were still living in years gone by. And I pray that you will journey closer to the one who came at Christmas time, the one who created you and loves you more than any guilt you may be carrying around with you, one who wants you to live in his joy and abundance in 2017 and for all eternity. For his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. May God make your year a happy one, not by shielding you from all sorrows and pain, but by strengthening you to bear it as and when it comes. Not by making your path easy, but by making you sturdy to travel any path. Not by taking hardships from you, but by taking fear from your heart. Not by granting you unbroken sunshine, but by keeping your face bright even in the shadows. Not by making your life always pleasant, but by showing you when people and their causes need you most, and by making you anxious to be there to help them. In his name, amen.